Dear Pilgrim Partners, every word of God is pure, and all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Our text for consideration during this midweek Lenten series focuses on Luke 23, verses 33 through 34. You'll find that on the back side of the bulletin. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. We pray. Lord, teach us how to pray and help us to pray without ceasing. Amen. As we look at the two verses that we have before us, there's a lot that we could talk about in just these two verses. We can maybe think, first of all, of the place that Jesus was crucified. You know, in Hebrew, according to the Gospels, the place was called Golgotha. Or in the Greek, we would remember that it's cranion, which is interesting because it sounds like the word cranium, which many commentators believe that the place was called that because maybe it looked like a skull, or, as we know, because many executions took place on that hill. But we're not going to talk about the hill much tonight. We're going to not talk about the criminals there were on Jesus' left and right-hand side as well. We remember that Isaiah said that Jesus, our Savior, was numbered with the transgressors as one of them. We could talk about the criminals and say, well, we know that one was faithful and seeing his Savior die. But also we know that one was very foul in his insults against our Savior, in contrary to the one on the other side of Jesus. We can talk about the garments. Roman custom in those days would be that they would divide the spoils of those who they executed. You see the greed of the Roman soldiers. They didn't even wait till Jesus was dead, but they casted lots for his purple tunic. We can talk about the crucifixion itself, and how many describe that in great detail, that horrific torture of our Savior. Some even saying that the nails pierced through his nervous system and his arms and feet with excruciating pain. Or the fact that he was hung there and being suspended, he was slowly dying by suffocation. We're not going to talk about any of those things in great detail tonight because what we're going to focus on is what the world would probably say is the least important thing to focus on. We're going to focus on Jesus' prayer. When he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." That is the theme for our series this Lent, isn't it? The passionate prayers of our Savior, the love exposed for us to demonstrate God's love for each one of us. That's why I pray that you are here this evening, to hear the love of your God, to hear the love that your Savior has for you. But let's look at our text a little bit more in depth. Before we do that, I want you to try to remember in your life the worst possible thing, the worst thing that's ever happened to you. In other words, I want you to think of the individual that's hurt you more than anyone else. Can you picture that right now? Who is the person that's hurt you more than anyone else in your life? Have you ever prayed for that person? Or let's go another step further. Let's imagine the worst and most horrific thing that could possibly happen. Maybe to one of your loved ones. I often think of someone doing something very horrible to my children. Could you pray for that person after it happened? Or even a tougher question, could you pray for that person while it happened? That's what our Savior did. As we look at our text, we see in verse 34, Then Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." In other words, while it was going on, while they hung him on the cross, while they mocked him, spit him, and continued to hurl insults at him, blaspheming him that he said that he was the Son of God, save yourself. While those things were going on, Jesus prayed for them. "Father, forgive them." What a lesson for us this evening when we see our Savior pray for his enemies. When we recognize when he says, "Father, forgive them," he was praying for the ones who were torturing him, who were putting him to death. Why was what Jesus said at that time on the cross unexpected? I know if I was all powerful and I was being tortured and hung on that cross, my enemies would be gone like that. No problem at all. You're going to make fun of me? I'll take care of you. That's not what our Savior did, was it? We see the willingness that our Savior went to that cross for us. And that was so unexpected. To see Him pray for His enemies, those who ridiculed Him. Because it's not what they deserved. Now you guys would probably maybe know better than I would, but I know there's quite a few TV shows on right now that would do the exact opposite of what Jesus did. I think isn't there a show that's called Revenge? The whole idea is that our sinful nature focuses on you should get what you deserve. That's the exact opposite of the love of our Savior and what He teaches us again. It's that agape love, that self-sacrificial love, which we see primarily and best of all in our Lord, in Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is, and horrible thing at the same time, that we are there at the cross as well. Because the Bible teaches us that by nature we are God's enemies. The sinful mind, Romans says, is hostile, at enmity with God. Wow. We're conceived in sin. We are God's enemies. So we're there too, at that cross. We're there because Jesus prayed for us also. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. What a wonderful gospel message it is for us, because Jesus prayed for us when it was unexpected. Jesus prayed for us when we did not deserve it. And that's what grace is. God's undeserved love for us, seen at the foot of the cross, seen during the season of Lent, where Jesus made up His mind to go willingly to the cross for you and for me, because we have disobeyed Him, because we deserve His wrath and punishment, because we don't deserve His prayers. But He gives them to us anyway, because of His love for us. 1 John 3:15 summarizes it very well when it reminds us about our interaction with people, especially our enemies. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And it goes on. By this, we know love, because He, Jesus, laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I wonder how many of you thought when you were coming tonight that you were serving one another. Your presence here is encouraging to me. Your presence here is encouraging to one another because you made it important to hear the love of your Savior tonight. We serve one another by encouraging one another and praying for another. Praying for even our enemies, as our Savior had done for us as well. When we look at what Jesus did for us life, when seeing the true love of our Savior, I like to ask people, what would be the best way that I could show my love for you this evening? Well, ultimately, if I was to die for you, maybe someone pulled out a grenade and I jumped on top of it. Well, you're not my enemies. When we look at what Jesus did, it's like picturing Him jumping on the enemy's grenade to save His enemy. Because that's what He did for us. He took our sins on the cross. He bore our punishment. He drank the cup of God's wrath that was meant for each one of us. When we look at our Savior's love, it's no reason why Jesus said in His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Jesus teaches us to know what love is. He corrected the social motto of that day, if someone hates you, hate them back. If someone hurts you, you need to have revenge and hurt them back as well. Jesus said, you've heard people say this to you, but I say to you, love your enemies. The world around us is saying the exact same thing. Hate those who hate you. Hurt those who hurt you back. But Jesus corrects our society once again. And so you've heard this said, but I say to you, giving us that divine authority once again, that divine love. I'm telling you what your Father in heaven wants you to do. I'm telling you how to behave. I'm showing you the love I want you to show to each other. He even gives us that wonderful illustration of the Good Samaritan. Remember the question that was asked? Jesus, who is my neighbor? Well, all the people that we would assume would stop and help that Jewish man dying there in the road did not. They passed by him a long way around. But the man's enemy, the Samaritan, stopped to help him. Who is my neighbor? Who are my enemies? Who am I praying for? All questions we want our Savior to help us to ask each and every day. In fact, when we pray the Lord's Prayer a little bit later, how often do we think about what we're saying there? I know I'm guilty of it. So easy, so repetitive. But when the Lord says, let us forgive those as you have forgiven us. Forgive us our trespasses as we have forgiven those who trespass against us. I don't know how many hunters are in here, but if you're not a hunter, you're probably maybe a hiker. I know the Bernthals are hikers, right? Or many of you have property, right? You know where your borders are. Well, trespass is pretty straightforward. Do not trespass means don't cross over that line. That's what we say when we pray that prayer. God says, here's the line, here's my law. Do not trespass it. And so we look at God's forgiveness to be able to forgive others. Because we're guilty of trespassing God's law, and others are doing the same for us. So how can we not forgive them for the same reason that God has so freely forgiven us? When we think about the season of Lent, we want to remember, how many of us would say that sins put Jesus on the cross? Would you raise your hand with me and say that, would you agree? My sins put Jesus on the cross? Raise your hand if you agree with that. Okay, we're all wrong. Because it wasn't sin that put Jesus on the cross, it was His love. He didn't have to go there, but He did, because He loves you and me that much. Love put Jesus on the cross. And it's that love that He wants us to show, even to our enemies, because it's the same love He showed to us. Amen. May this peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.